I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Well, modern preaching has a lot of mischief going on in it. Mishandling God's word. It comes in a lot of ways in a subtle form that sounds like it's just handling God's word, not mishandling it. It comes in a form of, well, here's a Bible passage, maybe from the New Testament or the Old Testament. Here's the narrative, the account. And then suddenly the preacher is telling you that it's about you. It's not about David or Paul or Moses or maybe even Jesus. It's really about you. So what's wrong with that way of mishandling God's word, whether it's the New Testament or the Old Testament? Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time for our feature this week in Pop Christianity. Today we'll talk about Rick Wilkerson Jr. and a sermon on the 12 spies in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So how do teachers and preachers in pop Christianity generally handle the Old Testament?
All right. They handle it through their theological assumptions. And this is where you have to get a little bit behind what you're seeing and understand what's driving these emphases that you hear in their preaching. And so evangelicals do not make a proper distinction between law and gospel. As a result of it, they are constantly misusing God's law. And as a result of that, then, they do not properly understand salvation by grace through faith alone. They may give lip service to it. They may say that they believe in the concept, but in their everyday preaching, in the messages that they hear, what ends up happening is that they look at the Bible as a book of Aesop's fables. These are stories where there's a problem, something has gone wrong, and the goal then is to find an application that you can then take home with you and begin to apply in your life so that you can get better results as a result of your obedience, your application, your striving, and things like this. And so, especially with Old Testament stories, they take these things and they'll allegorize the presenting problem in an Old Testament text to something that has to do with something that we're experiencing today. I say it sounds vague, but it becomes kind of a one-size-fits-all. Are you having problems at work? Well, that story applies with that. You having problems with your marriage? Well, that story applies with it. You just got to apply the principle in order to get better results in your life. That's really the goal.
So who is Rich Wilkerson Jr.?
Rich Wilkerson Jr. is the vision casting leader of VU Church. And we've noted before that this is a fellow who is very well known in evangelicalism and is popular among Hollywood, like movie stars and people like that, who are embracing evangelicalism. So he is a pastor to well-known stars, is a good way to put it.
So we're talking about Kanye West and Justin Bieber, superstars.
Yeah, people like that, exactly. So you can almost think of him as the United States version of a up-and-coming Brian Houston type. You know, that's how popular he is.
What are we going to hear first from Wilkerson?
So we're going to hear him set up the text. He's going to make reference to the fact that he's going to be in Numbers 13 and 14. Having reviewed the entire sermon, he doesn't actually ever get around to reading the thing in its entirety in context. He reads bits and pieces of it, and sometimes out of order. He'll be referencing Numbers 14 first, a bit of it, so that he can put his emphasis on Caleb and something that God says about Caleb, while ignoring how the passage itself defines what that thing is that is different about Caleb and Joshua. So we'll let him make the point.
I want to preach part three of this collection, and I want to lean into Numbers chapter 13 and 14. It says this, it says, "The Lord replied, I have forgiven them." This is our God. Even in the Old Testament, we see a merciful, gracious God who is constantly forgiving the Israelites. And he's speaking back to Moses right now. And he says, "Moses, I've forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. Not one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit," someone say the word different right now. Come on, just out loud at your house right now. Just out loud, say different. Come on, say different. I want to hear you. I can hear you. Different. "Because Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." I love this version of the Bible, but I wanted to read verse 24 to you out of the Message version. This is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible. And he says this, verse 24, it fits with our collection just a little bit better. He says, "But my servant Caleb, well, this is a different story. He has a different spirit. He follows me passionately. I'll bring him into the land that he scouted, and his children will inherit it." I want to use that verse today and this stories of Numbers 13 and 14, and I want to preach a message to you entitled "A Different Story." Come on, say it out loud. A different story. That's who you are. You're a whole different story. When God thinks about you, he goes, "You're a different story." Somebody right now in the chat, just come on, help me out. Preach back at the preacher. Just say, "A different story."
Okay, Chris, there's a couple things that I wanted to ask about that particular mistreatment. But first of all, is he actually getting the facts of the text itself right?
Not exactly. This is what we would consider an error of omission, because Numbers 14, 11, and 12 give us the presenting problem. So if you know the story, children of Israel have been miraculously, by a powerful hand of God, in judgment against the Egyptians, been brought out of slavery in Egypt through the 10 plagues, culminating in the Passover and the killing of the firstborn, and then victoriously marching out in defiance against the Egyptians, only to find themselves in trouble again. And then God delivers them by having them go through the Red Sea, the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. All of these people have witnessed these plagues, were ones who walked on the bottom of the Gulf of Aqaba with their own sandals, with a wall of water on each side. And now they're getting ready to go in, and God has sent 12 of the clan leaders to go spy out the land. And 10 of them come back and say, this is a place that devours people, and they give a bad report. And Josh and Caleb say, "No, listen, God has promised us these things, and we are well able to take them. I mean, remember what we experienced." So two of them have faith in the promises of God. God has promised to give them the inheritance. 10 of them have no faith in God. And then in Numbers 14, 11, and 12 say, "Yahweh said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? How long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." So you'll note that God makes it clear what the problem is. It's that the 10 do not have faith. And what is it that makes Caleb different is that he trusts the Lord. He believes the promises of God. He doesn't believe that God has brought them into the wilderness to do them harm, but to make good on his promises, to do them good. And so what he's correctly pointing out the fact that God says that Caleb has a different spirit, but he's, by ignoring some of the context, he has not made a proper distinction or a proper definition of outlining what is that different spirit and, you know, what it comprises.
The other thing, and you have a lot of experience analyzing this kind of thing over the last several decades, the other thing that I noticed he did and is that he chose the Bible translation, or in this case, the Bible paraphrase, Eugene Peterson's The Message, that best fit what he wanted to say. And someone's going to say, well, come on, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with it?
Well, we'll start with the word everything. So a pastor, the job of a pastor is to preach the word, to have studied and showed himself approved as a workman who need not blush with embarrassment, who can rightly divide the word of truth. A pastor in preaching the word is supposed to give the proper sense of what the text says as God has revealed it and as it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's an inerrant, infallible, authoritative word from God. And so you dare not monkey with the message. But Rich Wilkerson is a purpose-driven preacher, and that means he's in the same theological stream as Rick Warren. And he's learned very well from Rick Warren that you start with your conclusion first, then you go to the biblical text. And if the biblical text doesn't fit with your conclusion, you just find the right translation or paraphrase that you can work to fit with your conclusion. And now what's happened is that Rich Wilkerson is in charge of the message that God's word is bringing rather than God himself. And so he's evacuating or making void the word of God by this methodology. And any pastor who's doing this is going to have some explaining to do on the day of judgment, because now they're making void the word of God and monkeying with the message. A pastor is one who is a caruso. He's a proclaimer. He's a herald. And heralds are to deliver a message, not change the message.
What's next from Wilkerson?
So now with him, you know, really emphasizing different spirit, different spirit. He has a different spirit. Now he's going to begin to flesh out what he means by Caleb having a different spirit, and talk, you know, kind of allegorize the conquest of Canaan, or the potential conquest of Canaan, with the current pandemic that we find ourselves in, and then basically liken it to there's a set of obstacles which are really creating opportunities, and we need to learn to be optimistic.
That word different popped out at me as I was reading it, because, yo, COVID-19, things are different. Come on, chat. Just say different. If you're at your house right now, people that you're watching it with, come on, engage. Just say it's different. We're hanging out and socializing in a different way. I'm preaching in a different way. I'm in an empty room preaching. This is different. And what happens so many times is people, when things begin to become different, many times they cling to the same old lens. But friends, what you need to know is that when things look different, you got to see it different. I believe today that God wants a different spirit to rise up inside of you, a different spirit in order to tell a different story. I want to ask you three questions, because I think the only way you'll tell yourself a different story is if you answer these three questions correctly. Let's look at Numbers 13 for a moment. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. Here's my guy. He has a different spirit. He tells a different story. He says, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him, they said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report. They spread a bad story about the land they had explored. Question number one, if you're going to tell a different story, here's the first question. Write this down. How do you see your circumstance? Life is full of circumstances, good circumstances, bad circumstances. Here's what I know about circumstances. You can't control them. Case in point, coronavirus. None of us were prepared for the coronavirus. We didn't actually think in 2020 that we were going to be stopped for months at times because there was going to be a virus that would spread as a pandemic worldwide. I don't get to control the circumstances. All I get to control is how I respond to the circumstances. See, you and I, we have to predetermine our responses to circumstances, especially when they go bad. Many of us today, we're facing a negative circumstance and we're telling ourselves a negative story. And the reason why we're telling a negative story is because we're viewing our circumstance not with the lens of faith, we're viewing it with the lens of fear. And every time I view it with the lens of fear, I'm gonna miss out on the opportunities. You see, every one of God's opportunities, they always come surrounded with obstacles. And I want you to understand today that the bigger the obstacle, whew, it's always the bigger the opportunity.
Okay, so Chris, this is very interesting because he went from the story of these 12 spies and immediately the word just kind of got shoved off to the side.
Yep.
And he starts teaching this principle about you and your circumstances.
Correct. As if somehow the two are related, or the one that the Bible is actually pointing us to this principle that he was, pointing us to. But the reality of the situation is that this is like a magic trick. This was like sleight of hand. And the biblical text that he was supposed to be preaching on, Numbers 13 and 14, doesn't teach the principle that he just so easily slipped right into. And the seam was so perfect, you couldn't even detect it. But that's the danger here, is that this appears to the untrained eye as he's exegeting the biblical text. This is what this is all about. But if you were to just step back and ask, some tougher questions, is the conquest of Canaan, the story of the spies of Canaan, is that about the difficulties that we are facing right now because of the global pandemic? When you start to ask it in that way, the whole thing begins to break down, and you realize, well, that's actually kind of a stretch. It is a very huge stretch indeed, especially then if you were to bring in other biblical facts, such as the fact that the promised land of the Old Testament, that whole theme within the Old Testament, according to Hebrews 11, is not pointing people to problems in their life or anything like that. The promised land is always a type and shadow of the promise that we all have in Christ, which is not that we're going to find opportunities in our obstacles. Instead, the promise we have in Jesus Christ is a true inheritance in the new earth, salvation by grace through faith alone, given as a gift by God because of the merit and mercy of Christ. So all of that is shoved to the side. And so, like I said, this has now become Aesop's fables. This isn't any different than the moral of the story of like the tortoise and the hare or things like that. And this is a dangerous way to handle God's word, because God's word isn't about the things that he's saying.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about teacher Rich Wilkerson Jr.'s sermon on the 12 spies in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. More from Wilkerson after this. I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Do you want to spend more time in God's Word, but your tight schedule doesn't permit you to sit down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen and study anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Many who are struggling with grief, this time of social isolation has made that grief more complicated and more intense. And for some, they're becoming acquainted with old grief anew during this time. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. It's at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Living with Grief. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Rich Wilkerson Jr.'s sermon on the 12 spies in the Book of Numbers. Our guest is Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith. Chris, what's the final cut that we have from Wilkerson?
So now, having told us that we need to look for opportunities and focus on the opportunities when there's obstacles, and that this is somehow a pattern that God is revealing in Scripture, he's now going to talk about our attitude and what it is that we need to be focusing on, and we'll note what's missing after the soundbite.
Here's what I know about circumstances. Write this down. Circumstances usually have problems and potential. It's like a coin. A coin has two sides, heads and tails. That's how circumstances work. They come at you with problems and potential. You get to decide which side you're going to focus on. Notice in our story that these 12 spies, they go to the promised land, they scout it out. 10 come back, and what do the 10 do? The majority, they focus on the problem. Well, yes, like God said, it is flowing with milk and honey. Yes, the fruit is so large that it took multiple people to carry it back. It was heavy. It was big. But you should also know that the land is fortified. It's got giants inside of the land. There is no way that we could ever take over this land. What are they doing? They start focusing on the problem. This happens to so many people. In fact, the majority of people today are always going to spend all of their energy looking through the lens of fear. And when you look through the lens of fear, you're going to focus on the problem. But this is important that you see this. This is so important as you are quarantined and as we are going through this difficult crisis together. Where your focus goes, energy flows. Don't just hear me say it. In your seat right now, wherever you're watching on your lazy boy, take out your iPhone, take out your notes, and write down where your focus goes, energy flows. Because this is so important. I get to decide where my focus goes. I can either focus on problems or I can focus on potential. The majority focuses on the problems. And because of it, the majority quits before they even begin. I love Winston Churchill. I've been studying Winston Churchill. If you don't know who Winston Churchill was, he was the Prime Minister of Great Britain during World War II. And it was a tough time to be the Prime Minister because London was being bombed by Nazis. Watch what Winston Churchill says. This is beautiful. He says, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. But an optimist, what do they see? They see the opportunity in every difficulty. See, what I see is what I say, and what I say determines the life that I live. Don't be a part of the majority, just focusing all of your energy on fear and the problem.
So, Chris, aside from his clever alliteration there, and little kind of sing-songy slogans that he wants people to put into their iPhone for some reason, it seems to me that he has strayed into kind of you are your own God, you are creating your own reality territory. Am I reading too much into it?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And so basically, whatever is going on in your life, ultimately it's about whether or not you are being an optimist or a pessimist. And so who knew that that old yarn about, whether or not somebody sees the glass as half empty or half full, that it's a command of God that you always see the glass as half full. And if you're not seeing the glass as half full, then you're somehow committing the same sin as the 10 spies who gave a bad report. And so, I mean, when you think about this, this will then create what I call the tyranny of positivity. You know, well, God wants me to be an optimist, so I better start looking for all the opportunities that exist in the negative things that are going on in my life. But I said before we went into the clip that we would take a look at what was missing. And this is not a text teaching us to be optimists. This is a text where God condemns 10 men for not trusting and believing him, not and in fact thinking the worst about God and slandering God and claiming that God had brought them out of Egypt to have them fall by the sword by the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and those who were dwelling within the land of Canaan. And that is the problem. That's not about optimism versus pessimism. That is about faith versus unbelief. The problem of the 10 spies is that they did not believe. And now we, in the New Testament era, we are faced with very, very specific promises of God. God has promised to forgive us of our sins, to pardon all of our iniquity, give us life eternal as a gift, all because of what Christ has done in coming and taking our sin upon himself, bleeding and dying in our place on the cross, rising victoriously from the grave, and ascending into heaven where he presently sits at the right hand of the Father. So the question is, do you believe God or not? Or are you going to say, no, God, I don't believe any of these promises of God. I'm going to just trust in my own understandings and things like this. So you see, there are ways you can relate it to our day, but basically optimism versus pessimism is not the dichotomy that this text gives.
So with a little bit more than a minute here, Chris, what I noticed it does is completely trivializes the actual text of Numbers. It says basically Caleb and Joshua, they were just incurable optimists, and you should be too. Nothing of faith, nothing of God's promises, nothing of, in particular, God's word to those people then.
Yeah. And you'll note that this then really kind of fits in the genre, not of a sermon, but more of like a self-help pep talk, you know, something to help you to always look on the bright side of life. You know, I think of the life of Brian, you know, always look on the bright side of life. Da-da, 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 da-da. See, your problem is you're just not seeing the opportunities here. You're right. It trivializes the text. It misses the point. And you miss God. You miss Christ. You miss faith. You miss repentance. And this is not a call to repent of real sin, of real unbelief. It's more along the lines of, well, this is an attitude adjustment that really needs to have, that you need to embrace so that you can have a better outcome as your life and career and everything is melting down as a result of the economic collapse because of the pandemic, which is, again, just utter tyranny. And at the end of this, somebody's going to say, well, all right, I've had a positive attitude, God, but I still don't have a job, still can't pay my bills. What gives here? And the thing is that, you know, they haven't been taught rightly. They don't know the truth. They'll walk away from Christianity saying it's nonsense. And the fact is they've never been taught what it is at all.
With about 30 seconds, what's the danger of this all too common way of preaching, not only the Old Testament, but sadly even also the New Testament?
The danger is that you miss Christ, you miss what he's done for you, you miss the real call to repentance, you miss faith, you miss faith in contradistinction to unbelief, and as a result of it, the thing that you end up missing, ultimately, you are in danger of missing eternal life itself, because these sermons are powerless as in regard to convicting people of real sin and unbelief and then comforting them with the true gospel and the real promises that we have in Jesus Christ. And as a result of it, you risk despair and you risk an eternity in hell from, you know, going to church where the Bible is never really properly preached or engaged. There's a lot of religious activity, but there is no truth. There is no worshiping of God in spirit and in truth. And the messages that you get have nothing to do at all with what the Bible says. It's very frightening when you think about it.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Fighting for the Faith begins in about 3 minutes. Listen at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Chris, thanks.
Thank you.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the doctrine of justification with Pastor Hans Feeney, scientism with Dr. Angus Manoj. We'll make the case for life with Scott Klusendorf. We'll discuss Islam with Hank Hanegraaff and godliness with Pastor Will Whedon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.